Hello there, my name's Ian Forth and welcome to Vinyl Maelstrom, where we ignite discussions on an intriguing musical theme. We are the Draft Beer Preservation Society. God save Mrs. Mops and good old Mother Riley. We are the Custard Pie Appreciation Consortium. God save the George Cross and all those who were awarded them. We are the Sherlock Holmes English-speaking vernacular. Help save Fu Manchu, Moriarty and Dracula. We are the Office Block Persecution Affinity. God save Little Shops, China Cups and Virginity. We are the Skyscraper Condemnation Affiliates. God save Tudor Houses, Antique Tables and Billiards. Preserving the old ways from being abused, protecting the new ways for me and for you. What more can we do? We are the Village Green Preservation Society. Not my words, but the words of Ray Davis of the Kinks. Now, however you slice it, these do not sound like the lyrics of a cutting-edge British band from the height of the psychedelic era. And yet, that's what the Kinks were, amongst other things. So, before we go any further, let's take a medium-sized dive. The Kinks were an English rock band formed in Muswell Hill, North London in 1963 by brothers Ray on lead vocals and rhythm guitar and Dave Davis on lead guitar and vocals. Through their British heyday in the 60s, they fielded a stable lineup that also featured Mick Avery on drums and Pete Quaife on bass. The band emerged as Beatles-inspired pop music was taking the world by storm, but notably drew from other inspirations such as musical, folk and country. They were briefly part of the so-called British invasion of the United States. However, they were banned from entering the States for 4 years in the late 60s, which stalled their expansion there at the same time as the Beatles were embedding themselves in the American consciousness. The band had hits in the 70s and 80s with Lola and Come Dancing, but it is for their string of 60s masterpieces they are best remembered. Chief amongst these are All Day and All of the Night, You Really Got Me, Days, See My Friends, Sunny Afternoon, Dedicated Follower of Fashion, and their masterpiece, Waterloo Sunset. Yet, the heartland of their quintessential observations of English life, even domesticity, can often be found in their less celebrated tracks, such as David Watts, Shangri-La, Two Sisters, and Village Green Preservation Society. The time has come for an entirely reasonable discussion. The Kinks set a new template for songs about working class life. 50 years on from now, Britain will still be the country of long shadows on county cricket grounds, warm beer, invincible green suburbs, dog lovers and, as George Orwell said, old maids bicycling to Holy Communion through the morning mist. Well, nothing could be further from the Kinks' view of what was great about Britain than the views of modern Tories. They would, however, have had a little more sympathy with John Major, who included the above paean to Britain in one of his speeches from the 1990s. You could call the Kinks conservative, but with a very small c. On Autumn Almanac, Ray Davis sang, "I like my football on a Saturday, roast beef on Sundays, all right. I go to Blackpool for my holidays, sit in the open sunlight." The Kinks could be sharp and often satirical, but their music was always fiercely protective of working class values. Many of their songs deal with suburban life, social issues and everyday struggles. Here, for example, are some lines from the Kinks song Shangri-La. "The little man who gets the train has got a mortgage hanging over his head, but he's too scared to complain because he's conditioned that way. Time goes by and he pays off his debts. Got a TV set and a radio for 7 shillings a week." Well, in 1979, we meet the same little man later on in his career coming up to retirement. He's still catching the 8 a.m. train on the Waterloo line, but sadly, this is the day when he discovers his services are no longer needed. His name is Smithers Jones, and he's the eponymous hero not of a song by the Kinks, but by the Jam, who in fact covered the Kinks song, David Watts. Some lyrics. It's time to relax now you've worked your arse off, but the only one smiling is the suntan boss. Work and work and work and work till you die, because there's plenty more fish in the sea to fry. Yes, class differentiation cut deep for Ray Davies. Not only did he celebrate the working man, but he liked to satirise the better off too. The taxman's taken all my dough and left me in my stately home, lazing on a sunny afternoon. Okay, next let's talk about the Kinks' facility in blurring musical genres. The Kinks set the earliest template for amalgamating musical styles. It's sometimes tempting to imagine that it wasn't until the 1970s that fusion music combining different styles took off, and that in the 1960s music easily divided into siloed genres. But it's often overlooked that the Kinks possessed a sound that had already combined rock and roll with elements of British folk and musical traditions. Some would argue that the Beatles, to quote the most obvious example, were equally as adventurous and arguably more so, for example, with their Indian and classical experimentation amongst much else. But take a closer listen to the Kinks' single See My Friends. In addition to being about the taboo subject of homosexuality, the song's guitar evokes a sound reminiscent of the Indian tambura, making it one of the key early works in the style known as raga rock. It was in fact released 4 months before the sitar part in the Beatles' Norwegian Wood. From the fjords back to the groves of Albion, let's take a look at the Englishness of the Kinks. Ray Davies legitimised singing with an English accent. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a ha 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 honky tonk woman. When the levee breaks, mama, you've got to move, ooh. Well, it's understandable that the Beatles, the Stones and Led Zeppelin affected an American accent. It was accepted as the lingua franca of rock and roll in the 60s and 70s, as, say, French was in medieval Europe. So it can come as a surprise to realise how unusual it was that not just the gentler songs by the Kinks, but even their rockers, such as You Really Got Me, were sung in a crystalline English accent. It was a brave decision, and possibly an uncommercial one too. It may partially account for why the Kinks did not take off to the same degree in the States as those other bands that we've mentioned. However, the legacy of this approach can be heard resonating through the years. The Kinks legitimised a wide variety of purely English singing styles. Jarvis Cocker of Pulp, Dame and Alban of Blur are fairly obviously there, but then there's Mick Jones of The Clash, Neil Tennant of The Pet Shop Boys, Pete Shelley of Buzzcocks. In the more alternative world, there's Marky Smith of The Fall, Luke Haynes of The Auteurs, but also female vocalists such as Alison Statton of Young Marble Giants and Sarah Nixie of Black Box Recorder. Next, let's take a look at whether the Kinks were the original nonconformists. Were the 1960s all about nonconformity? Not really. 1 year everyone had a Beatles mop top, not long afterwards everyone was wearing caftans. It was very much a case of, yes, we are all individuals. The Kinks, however, were pioneering experimenters in different musical styles and themes, but just as significantly, they dealt with outsiderness and non-conformity in society. I'm not like everybody else was a plea for non-compliance. The character in that song, unusually sung by Dave, though written by Ray, doesn't walk about like everybody else, doesn't want to live his life like everybody else, doesn't want to remain confined like everybody else. Dedicated follower of fashion is scathing about hippie camp followers, offering a template taken up by the Arctic Monkeys many years later on Fake Tales of San Francisco. And, as we've already noted, See My Friends is a song about homosexuality, which the Beatles and the Stones were conspicuously not tackling at the time, or if they were, obliquely. Plus, let's not forget the band were called The Kinks. Lola is a song about a transvestite, or perhaps a transsexual, daring for the time in the Britain of 1970. It provided a blueprint of much that was gender fluid and androgynous about the early to mid-70s period. By 1972, David Bowie was scandalising a nation by putting his arm round Mick Ronson on Top of the Pops, while Lou Reed was taking a walk on the wild side in New York. Next, let's talk about the Kinks and their relationship to heavy metal. The Kinks were a building block, but did not necessarily invent heavy metal. It's sometimes said that You Really Got Me invented heavy metal, but American musicologist Robert Valsa is more accurate, perhaps, when he describes it as the first hit song built around power chords. Dave Davis, whose riff it is, has himself rejected the idea, saying, "I've never really liked that term heavy metal. I think, in all humility, it was the first heavy guitar riff rock record, just because of the sound. If you played it on the ukulele, it might not have been so powerful." So, to sound like an expert, settle for the Kinks didn't invent heavy metal, but probably invented power pop. Let's summarise these instant expert opinions. 1. The Kinks invented a new way of celebrating working class life in 1960s pop, which proved highly influential. Number 2. Ray Davies legitimised singing in an English accent. Number 3. The Kinks weren't like everybody else, more chaotic than the Stones, closer to the heart of everyday life in England than the Beatles, more musically innovative than The Who. They were the original nonconformists. And number 4, the Kinks may not have invented heavy metal, but they did invent power pop. Thanks for listening to a whole episode of Vinyl Maelstrom. Since you've come this far, why not go one step further and like, subscribe, rate and review us on Apple or Spotify? It really would be much appreciated as we try to bravely forge our podcast path. Big fist bumps to Nina at Cartini Digital on graphic design, to Mog on music, to Alex on production, and to Jamie at Plexus Media for all his help on the websites. Oh, and why not give our international hit sister podcast Sombrero Fallout a listen? See you next time on Vinyl Maelstrom.